Θα θα τα μανουφυρίτσι ακαίου. Α, καμμάτε, καμμάτε.
On Thursday, New Zealand's parliament was disrupted by a hacker. You've probably seen a video of the moment on your socials. A young MP stands up, she rips a piece of paper in two, she starts chanting, and the whole room erupts.
The house is suspended until the ringing of the bells.
A haka is a traditional dance by New Zealand's indigenous Maori people, and the paper she's torn up is a bill that could affect their rights. There's also been a protest outside New Zealand's parliament with more than 40,000 people. That's after a nine-day hikoi, a peaceful march across the country. It started at the northernmost tip and went all the way down to the capital, Wellington.
This is like one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences to see unity.
So in this episode, you're going to hear what the bill they're protesting is proposing and about the rights of Maori people in New Zealand. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and you're listening to What in the World from the BBC World Service. New Zealand has been considered a world leader when it comes to supporting Indigenous rights. But under the current centre-right government, people fear that some of those rights are at risk. These current protests are some of the biggest in New Zealand's history, and they've brought together people of all backgrounds, not just Maori. Here is the BBC's Katie Watson, who's been at the protest.
People here are talking about unity, the pride of the Maori culture. There's a lot of criticism of David Seymour, who is the leader of the ACT Party. He is trying to push through a bill in Parliament that effectively changes the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, which is the founding document of New Zealand, seen as a really important document dating back from 1840. The concern is that by pushing through this law, which changes the principles of the treaty, that will undermine the rights of the Maori people. David Seymour, he argues that this is about a modern New Zealand, that people's rights, all New Zealanders' rights need to be recognised.
And here's someone who was protesting.
This is a crucial part of our history and it needs to be honoured. If you're bringing in a bill that already undermines what Te Tiriti originally represents, then, like for me, it's what's the point? We've already got Te Tiriti or Waitangi in place. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we bringing a bill in when there is already a foundational document in there?
Let's hear more now from Catherine Armstrong, a BBC reporter. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
I want to get into the contents of this bill and why it's been controversial in a minute. But first, the videos of this hacker have gone viral. It is such a powerful image. For people who don't know what a hacker is, can you describe what happens during a hacker and why it's so important for Maori people?
The best example you can have of it is what you see the All Blacks doing before a rugby match. But for those who haven't seen that, yes, it's a group of people that stands up together. They stamp their feet in rhythm. They smack parts of their body and they chant. And there are lots of different haka. So you can have haka at funerals, which are a mark of respect. But you can also have haka like the one you saw in Parliament, which are a symbol both of unity but also of challenge. So the haka that was done on Thursday is a very famous haka known as Kamati Kamati, which is one of the haka that the All Blacks often perform, and that is a form of challenge to the people that they are performing it to.
And what do we know about the MP who started this haka?
So her name is Hannah Rafferty Maipi Clark, who's from the Māori Party, Te Pāti Māori. She's 22 years old, very young MP, and she's actually New Zealand's youngest MP. She became an MP last year when she was only 21, and she actually unseated a veteran Māori politician, Nanaia Mahuta, who actually herself was the first foreign minister of New Zealand who was Māori and the first female foreign minister. She's from a very prominent Māori activist family, and a lot of her relatives have protested for things like Māori being recognised as a second language in New Zealand, which it now is, and for Māori land rights. So she is, you know, one of the kind of bright new stars in New Zealand politics. A lot of people are quite excited about her future.
So the aim of this proposed bill is to reinterpret and legally define principles in the country's founding document. That's the Treaty of Waitangi. What was the treaty?
So when the Treaty of Waitangi was signed in 1840, it was signed between many, but not all Māori chiefs and the British Crown. It was an attempt to establish the rights of both parties. So the British Crown would rule New Zealand, govern New Zealand, but that Māori would have its cultural rights respected. That has not necessarily been the case. And over time, the principles of this treaty have been woven into New Zealand's legislation, but they aren't laws. New Zealand doesn't have a constitution, so these are kind of just guiding principles that have been used to guide legislation.
So this new bill is being proposed by ACT. It's a minor party in the ruling coalition. Its leader, David Seymour, says that over time, the treaty's core values have led to racial divisions instead of unity. And here to explain more about that is the BBC's Vandana Ban.
Now, the first principle is that of partnership between Māori and the Crown. The second is of participation, where the Crown will give Māori the right to engage in discussion at all levels of decision-making. And thirdly, protection, where the government needs to prioritise the protection of Māori rights and interests. Now, this new bill is wanting to reword all of those principles to include all New Zealanders, therefore really diminishing the historical context of Māori. If I were to put this in a global context, it's like when we had the Black Lives Matter movement and that discussion, there was a certain group of people that wanted to say all lives matter. And that is a similar concept that is going on with this bill and this discussion in New Zealand. Now, there is a Waitangi Tribunal in New Zealand, which is a permanent commission of inquiry for the treaty. And they have said that this is a politically motivated attack on perceived Māori privilege. And it is a fact in New Zealand that Māori are far from being a privileged group in New Zealand society. They make up around 20% of our population, but only own about 6% of the land. They're also heavily still disadvantaged in parts of society. They are underrepresented in education, employment, wealth, and a lot of that can be attributed to historical context of colonisation. But for a lot of the protesters and a lot of critics of this bill, they are saying that the damage has really already been done here with the centre-right government.
So what happened to Māori people when British colonisers first came to New Zealand? Catherine is going to be back to explain in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about one of our other episodes that we have done on What in the World. We recently talked about the Sunung. It's Korea's college entrance test, and it could possibly be the world's most stressful exam. You can listen to that and all of our other episodes wherever you get your BBC podcasts. And we are now also on YouTube, so you can find our podcasts on the BBC World Services YouTube channel. And once a week, you can watch us in the studio too. Back to Catherine now. So how were Māori people impacted by colonisation?
So Māori are the indigenous population of New Zealand. At first, relations between them and the British colonisers were pretty good. And then this treaty was signed and it was kind of lost in translation, unfortunately, because there was a Māori version and an English version and they didn't quite match up. So afterwards, there was a war that lasted for about 30 years, a series of skirmishes really over land rights. And bit by bit, the British Crown took land away from Māori and, kind of similar to the plight of Indigenous cultures in places like Australia and Canada, they did see their culture start to kind of be taken away from them in favour of Western religion and education and things like that. And they are still suffering from that. You see a real long tail of colonisation that Māori people are still living with. But, luckily in more recent years and through a lot of Māori activism, you've seen a sort of regeneration of the Māori culture, and that is kind of evident in the likes of Hana Rawhiti Maipi Clark, this MP that stood up, a proud young Indigenous woman, which I think is unfortunately quite a rare thing to see around the world. Relations, between Māori and non-Māori in New Zealand aren't perfect, and there's still quite a long way to go, but, things had been on the right track. And unfortunately, now we're kind of seeing things head in the wrong direction a little bit.
How has the current government in New Zealand impacted or changed things for Māori people?
Well, they've taken measures that Māori say are, you know, kind of seeking to disadvantage them. For example, they got rid of the Māori Health Authority, which was set up in 2022 under the former Jacinda Ardern Labour government, which was seeking to create health equity for Māori in New Zealand. You know, there are a lot of statistics about how, you know, how bad the healthcare system for Māori is in New Zealand. For example, the life expectancy of Māori is around 7 years shorter than it is for non-Māori. So it's just things about like that, about creating equality. But the government argues that actually it isn't. It's disenfranchising, disadvantaging other New Zealanders. And they've also sought to reprioritise the English language over Māori, even though both are official languages of New Zealand. So some government departments, for instance, Waka Kotahi, the transport authority, that has gone back to the English name first rather than the Māori. So, yeah, these are several steps that haven't endeared this new government to Māori, and this new bill, even though it seems likely to fail, isn't improving relations at all.
Historically, have Māori protests worked?
Yeah, they, you know, they've definitely helped to highlight the issues, and I suppose both sides say that that is what they want. So David Seymour, the ACT leader, says that he wants this bill to kind of start a dialogue, and that's what Māori want as well with this protest. They, you know, they want to show people that they are opposed, and obviously, you know, it's getting traction internationally, so it is sort of, it's doing its job. Protests, for instance, there was one in the 1970s, another protest march over land rights and Māori wanting their land back, and there have been improvements on that. There is a tribunal, the Waitangi Tribunal, which was set up to give redress to Māori who had their land taken from them during colonisation.
Catherine, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
As Catherine said, Māori have a history of protesting for their rights, and those protests have resulted in improved dialogue and positive change. Thank you for listening to this episode of What in the World from the BBC World Service. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and I'll be back with another episode soon. See you then. Bye.